we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an advertisement from Essentials magazine, read by Rory Morrison.
Air travellers, ensure a comfortable night's sleep with this simple-to-use seat cushion, designed by an aircraft pilot who was unable to sleep on long journeys.
And our thanks to Ken Oliver for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Susan Kalman and Dominic Holland. And opposite them on my left, Roisin Conaty and Jeremy Hardy. Susan, who has extended the arms of friendship to the Middle East?
This is Mr. David Cameron, who's currently on his tour of the Middle East, and he's been flying around various countries, and he has apologised that perhaps it wasn't such a good idea to support all of these dictatorships for all of these years. It's kind of like standing on the Titanic as it's going down, going, oh, we should have had more lifeboats. My favourite part of the story was someone asked Nick Clegg who was in charge whilst David Cameron was away. And he went, well, I suppose it's me then, eh? Which was lovely, because
he said he forgot.
Yes, he forgot he was holding the fort.
William Hague has just gone very quiet now, because a few days ago he was sort of saying, as far as we know, Colonel Gaddafi has gone to Venezuela. I heard today he's on the plane now at this... I'll get me coat.
That's quite scary that you can do that.
Nervous affliction.
I quite like the press conference. Cameron said he'd what would you like to say to Colonel Gaddafi? He said, well, I'd like to say, what on earth do you think you're doing? Stop it. I think if that doesn't work, nothing will. I think that's...
My favourite story was Gaddafi's cousin, who is his foreign advisor, has just fled the country and he's gone to Egypt.
If I was stuck in that area, I wouldn't have any problem with evacuation whatsoever.
He's an extraordinary man, Gaddafi. He's the only man who actually looks better in Madame Tussauds than in real life.
They keep printing that picture, don't they, of Tony Blair shaking hands with Gaddafi.
And Gordon Brown as well.
Yeah, Gaddafi's never going to live that down, is he? Are you political, Roisin? Is it something that interests you?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's gone over to Egypt, David Cameron, yeah. But who's he selling the weapons to?
Anybody who will buy them.
He's just set up a stall.
He's like a sort of an Arthur Daly, isn't he? Psst, do you want to buy a jet fighter?
What if he's got a big jacket that he opens, there's an AK inside.
But that is one of the things, and it's just, I think, an example of how wasteful this coalition government actually is, that they've sent David Cameron across Egypt when, as we all know, eBay, you can buy a tank any time. And they should just have set up a government PayPal account, and it would have been much quicker and easier for everyone involved.
93 British companies attended an arms fair in Abu Dhabi. What is an arms fair? Is that when the merry-go-round is mined? How does it...
Coconut shy is grenades.
Is that what it is? David Cameron has been on a tour of Egypt and the Gulf States to promote democracy by selling arms. You can't make it up, really, can you? The tour is being marketed as the Tony Blair package holiday, with the slogan, "See the whole of the Middle East from the comfort of your own armoured tank division." In Kuwait, Cameron was accompanied by John Major, who has just launched a new range of underpants. 2 points to Susan. Dominic, who isn't in the red?
Is this Mr. Miliband?
It is Mr. Miliband.
Yeah, the Labour Party have officially been declared bankrupt. They're bankrupt to the tune of, I think, £24 million, which is nothing compared to what they did to the country, is it really? So the problem is now is that they're a union-led, union-backed party. Ed Miliband needs some very wealthy left-wing people without lordships. So he's looking for Andrew Marr. But they are desperately worried about money because what happens is 80% of their income is now funded by the unions, by Unite and Unison, which is back to the old days of Labour, the 70s Labour, which they try to get away from. And all the wealthy individuals don't like Red Ed, so they're not contributing to the Labour Party.
That is how it's supposed to be. I mean, Labour was founded by the unions, the word Labour referring to labour. That's why it was called that. You know, the Tories are the bosses' party, Labour is the workers' party, and the Liberals just whelming and don't really know what's going on. And that's sort of how it's supposed to be.
It is quite sinister, isn't it, being bankrolled by the unions rather than sort of regular, approachable people like Lord Ashcroft?
Well, the Tories are bankrolled by wealthy individuals, lords, and Labour are bankrolled by barons, union barons, really.
They're not barons who, like, ride around on a horse in chainmail. They're not that sort of baron.
On the weekend, they are.
I think you'd have to prove that in court.
Instead of Red Ed moaning about it, they just need to do what anyone else would do in that situation if you run out of a bit of cash. So you either go to one of those check cashing places that you see advertised, they could phone up Ocean Finance. They could get a wee Saturday job. I think it'd be nice if you walked into a shop and there was the shadow cabinet, you know, in Primark.
You should just stop spending money on presentation, because people don't pay any attention to adverts. And, I mean, Gordon Brown is sort of had a whole new head made before he became leader and started wearing blue ties and, like, sort of having subliminal images of Thatcher sort of flicker up during political broadcasts and things. And I think people prefer Labour politicians to be a bit like... You want to be able to see their vest through their shirt, really, don't you?
But it would help us if Ed Miliband actually did something. You just long for him to climb Everest on a space hopper or have an affair with the Queen or something. Or climb the Queen and have an affair with a space hopper. I don't really care. Just to...
Every time you see a photograph of him, there was one in the papers today, and he just looks like, you know when you're in a shop and somebody breaks wind and you end up accidentally walking into their clothes? And he stands kind of with his mouth slightly open, looking quite shocked and going, I never did it. That's the look Ed Miliband always has in his face. It wasn't me.
That's his policy for the country as well, though, isn't it? The country's in a terrible state. He goes, I didn't do it.
I just feel sorry for Ed Miliband. I mean, he just looks bewildered. I mean, he's got a Marxist Jewish mother. How much guilt can a person carry? Hi, Mum, how are you doing? I'm disappointed. That's how it is.
Roisin, were you disappointed or pleased with how the election turned out?
I was disappointed.
Okay, why?
Well, just the night of the election was really boring, wasn't it, really?
Oh, it was a television event, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Never mind.
I watched it wishing someone would just throw a potato or something. Just watching, they're all sort of so dull. And then old Clegg, when he went with Cameron.
I like that description, though, that Clegg went with Cameron. It sounds like, you know, at the end of a school disco. when there's just, like, two of you left, you're like, all right, I'll go with you then.
This is the earth-shattering news that Labour is now almost completely bankrolled by the unions. It turns out that Labour have received £2.2 million from the trade unions, the Tories have received £11.4 million from the city, and the Lib Dems have received a £15 WH Smith voucher from Nick Clegg's aunt. 2 points to Dominic. Actually, is it true, Dominic, is it true that your son is playing Billy Elliot in the West End? Is that true?
No. He was.
He was.
No longer.
Ben, how did it feel to profit from the miners?
It's a terrible thing because we haven't told Tom how much money he earns. Because we don't want to turn his head, but also I might need the money myself.
Yeah, that's good. That's a very good point. Roisin, which questionnaire has questionable costs?
The 2011 UK Census.
2 points.
Brilliant. The UK Census is costing, I think, about £460 million or something, and it's being given to Lockheed Martin, who are a defence firm, which is quite nice to know. They sell guns and now do questionnaires. That's the easiest gig in the world, to send out a piece of paper. I could have done it. I mean, I'll put a Facebook link up. Done. But one of the headlines that I really loved said, UK powerless to stop Jedis and witches spoiling UK census.
Well, there were a lot last time, I think.
400,000 Jedis.
I mean, if there were 400,000 Jedis in the country, I wouldn't be nearly so sceptical about the big society. Actually, there's going to be... does anybody know? This is going to be a household survey. It will include the question, are you happy with your marriage? You can't answer that question without Chardonnay.
How much space do they give you for that?
I think it depends if you're married to Katie Price or not. So here's the thing. The census can be completed in English or Welsh. I just wondering, Jeremy, which you're going to choose. I'm going to go for Welsh.
Not just those two languages?
No, just those two, apparently. I'm going to get a bag of Scrabble letters and pull out 10 randomly. Shows you that I have holidayed in Wales with my children. The only Welsh word I have is hospital.
But you must be able to do it in Gaelic or Irish. If
no, apparently, only English or Welsh.
Yeah. It's quite good, actually, because I don't really know Gaelic at all. I only know how to sing the theme tune to Postman Pat in Gaelic.
Go on, then.
Padraig Post, Padraig Post.
Because wow, that must have taken years.
Mehirst, haggis, haggis. That's it. I don't know what that even means. I probably just propositioned Roisin again.
But isn't it been translated to so many languages as well, the census?
Yes, because we are multicultural.
57 languages now.
Is it?
Even Danish.
Is there?
Which is ridiculous because the Danes speak better English than us.
You're too kind.
How are they going to do it all in one night? That's not possible. Even if they had lots of little elves, how can they possibly do
I think the
whole
Jedi's get involved.
You have to. This is why they've got an arms company in charge.
What, they have, like, there's forms in sort of cluster bombs. Yeah. Just why are arms companies branching out? Is it because the world has become such a peaceful place now that they're having to sort of, like, deliver
selling
forms?
Their old arms. So it's like, are you married? Where are you living? Do you want to buy a Chinook? Loads of us just buying.
How unhappy are you?
The national census, which takes place next month, will cost £487 million. That's £200 million more than the 2001 census. According to Daniel Hamilton of civil liberties group Big Brother Watch, the government has no need and no right to know this information. Indeed, how could it possibly help the government to know the size of the population and what social problems need to be addressed? The increased cost is due, apparently, to the price of paper. You just think, if only the government could make its own paper, if, for example, you know, it owned thousands and thousands of acres of woodland. Two points to Roisin. Jeremy, who's operating a rationing procedure?
Well, the NHS, because they're getting used to the idea of GP fund holding, when GPs won't be able to, well, they'll have to manage their own funds and won't have much money to do it with, and so they're going to have to start turning people down. And so they've got the job of saying things like, you can't get a knee done if you're too fat. Heart patients will be told they can't get the operation if... I mean, it's very tempting to say people who smoke shouldn't be allowed heart operations. But you say, oh, these people are smokers. Smokers, they bring it on themselves. We all bring it on ourselves by being alive. I mean, that is the problem in the health service. They keep saying the problem with the health service is there's too much back office staff. They're always even in the back office. They've got this idea that it's like a sort of speakeasy. In the front, it's the NHS. But behind, there's this huge area of people drinking illicit hooch at the taxpayers'. Basically, they're saying we shouldn't treat people who are a liability, which is sick people, isn't it? People with things wrong with them, which is the problem that the health service faces. If they could just not treat anybody who's got anything wrong with them.
There are cut-offs, though, Jeremy, see, because the utopia is they'll treat everyone with every ailment, with every medicine that is available, and that is sustainable. People have been treated for things that probably aren't really treated. I went to the doctors recently because I'm very small.
And, in which department?
In all departments.
Over.
So. You know, varicose veins, you see, aesthetically, should we remove those?
Yeah, I've got a horrible great varicose vein. I could strangle a burglar with mine. And now I can't get it done. I was just getting to the point where, you know, people were tripping over it in queues. And I thought, I'll have to get this out.
I think if it's sore, they'll do it. But if it's aesthetic, they won't.
Oh, it's darling. You should see it. It looks like the Victoria line.
They keep saying, well, the model that was devised for the NHS no longer fits the modern period. You think, look, the NHS and the welfare state were founded in the ashes of depression and war. Surely we can have one now.
Did you see that the NHS list of never-ever events, OK, that's medical mistakes that are never allowed to happen, has been expanded. Apparently there used to be 8 things that you could never, ever, ever do, and now there are 25, one of which I quite like, leaving a foreign object inside a patient's body. Did we have to write that down as a thing?
Do you mean like a baguette or something like that? Well,
I can only guess if it's properly British, like, I don't know, a rolled-up copy of The Telegraph or something, then... or a hot roast dinner, that would be fine, but...
When you read the list, it's things like, don't let a patient fall out of an unguarded window. is, what someone's done is just watched Casualty. Just watched everything that happens in Casualty and said, don't do any of that stuff, so don't leave a patient in the bath with a toaster above them. That's potentially bad.
All of these things must have happened. That's what makes me say, all of them at some point, and they go, write that down.
But some of the new Never Evers were fantastic. Don't administer chemotherapy in the wrong place. What, like a wedding?
I think they mean Swindon. Oh, Swindon.
And my
favourite...
point
there, life's not worth living.
On that subject, Jeremy, one of the new Never Evers is never ever allow a patient to commit suicide. Who in the NHS stands around going, oh, go on then if your heart's set on it? A poll of GPs suggests that 1 in 8 referrals are being blocked by NHS managers to save money. In some regions, hysterectomies will only be allowed in exceptional circumstances. I love the implication that otherwise women may have hysterectomies just because they're fed up with excess organs cluttering up their neighbourhood. At the end of round one, I can tell you the scores are exactly even. Susan and Dominic have got 4 points, but so too have Roisin and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Tesco website.
Half price wines and champagnes. It's half term. Stock up the cupboard for the kids.
And our thanks to Jeff Williams for sending us that. Susan, listen to this.
Summertime. And the living is easy. Fish are jumping. And the cotton is high.
Susan, why might we all have more time on our hands this summer?
This is an idea which pops up occasionally, double summertime.
Yes.
And to explain, it confuses me. Because when I read about it, what's going to happen is we put our clocks forward once in the spring and then again in the autumn. Now, it didn't say that we would ever stop doing that, which is what confused me, that we would just keep putting our clocks forward for an hour until eventually we're eating lunch at the equivalent of midnight. You know? The reason why they want to do this is for tourism, to give us longer evenings to enjoy all of the wonderful attractions that the United Kingdom has to offer. But what it means is, in Thurso, in the north of Scotland, it would not get light until after 10 o'clock in the morning. But we would have an extra 2 hours to enjoy all the delights of Thurso. It's predicated on the fact that we want to enjoy being outside more in the summertime. Now, I got trench foot last August in April because it just rained all the time. Now, do I want another hour to stand in a car park drinking a Bacardi breezer? No. So that's what they want to do. And the problem is, it means that anywhere north of Manchester in the winter months will not see any sunlight until after 9 o'clock in the morning. And I think that'll be quite depressing for the sake of an extra hour for people in London, no disrespect, to go to a fancy schmancy outdoor cinema and eat hummus.
I did find it confusing, though, because people went on about their campaigning north of the border and they said that it would increase road accidents and put school children at risk. And I thought, well, surely the answer is that Scotland makes it illegal for school children to drive. I would have thought that was...
We used to have different times. Bristol used to be 20 minutes. You'd have to put your clock...
Really?
Yes, because it was railway, what they called railway time. Is that the only reason why we all kind of got the things together?
Absolutely.
The clocks were set to different times.
People don't realise quite how long this country is.
Yeah.
Fast.
Bristol was 20 minutes slower than everyone else.
Bristol, no, not slower.
No,
they were 20
different.
Minutes,
different.
20 minutes behind.
Yeah.
But not historically. I mean, they didn't sort of, like, discover steam, just fractionally. Fractionally behind everybody else.
We don't have daylight saving in Denmark at all. Just grateful for what we can get.
It's important, though, that thing, because some people suffer from... Sad.
Yes.
You know, they feel that life is bleak and pointless in the winter months. Personally, I envy them. I feel like that all the bloody time.
I read that the only disadvantage would be actually would upset the Scots, which you could interpret as a plus.
Right, so... It's not just the Scots, though. The Scots, because we have a devolved parliament and proportional representation and proper democracy. Yeah. Just saying, when you're all voting on the AV system, we've had it for years, so it doesn't work. And it's an agricultural thing, not just in Scotland, but anywhere that has any form of agriculture. The farmers are saying, listen, the cows don't like getting up when it's dark. They're having to knit loads of hats. It's all getting a bit awkward.
I want to go to cow knitting classes. I do. Apparently this plan, there's other plans as well, this tourism plan, includes scrapping May Day and including a UK day in October to celebrate the Battle of Trafalgar. Here's the thing. If we're not celebrating now, do you think we're going to do it because the government instructs us to? Scheduled fun is the most fun. The government have announced plans to extend evening daylight hours by introducing British double summertime. The Labour Party are expected to unveil a rival plan to extend daylight hours by slowing the rotation of the earth. But the plans could be scuppered by the people of Scotland, where extending evening daylight by an hour would mean the sun wouldn't come up until 4 o'clock in the afternoon the following day. 2 points to Susan. Roisin, who is doing a radio show dedicated to, I don't know how to put this, jazz?
Jazz.
I'm trying to be polite. I just want the correct terminology is.
Jackie Smith
is
doing a documentary about jazz, or porn, as it's known. And she talks about her husband. She's very open about it. She'd done this interview with loads of people in the porn industry. She used a terrible photo. She looked like someone from Band of Gold. just her sort of stood in Soho, looking under the rain and stuff.
In a Mac.
In a Mac. It's really awful. Really gives sex shops a bad name. In the interview, she says she found the porn stars pretty frank and open. They're porn stars.
They're going to be pretty frank was the name of one of them.
I'd be worried about the one called Open. Yeah.
She interviewed one of the big stars, it was called Karen. And Karen explained that after a photo shoot, she felt demeaned and that she'd let her boyfriend down.
That was an amazing... The interview, it's like a pullback and forth. It sounds like a character. Like, she has this amazing accent. She says, I was in the bath and I felt really upset and I feel like I betrayed Phil. And he came in and he said, no, you haven't betrayed me. If I didn't want you to do it, I wouldn't have asked you to. So it's horrific and hilarious in equal measure.
But the curious thing was her astonishment, her utter astonishment about how ubiquitous porn was on the internet, which I find quite astonishing that she didn't know that there was a bit of it about, because anyone here who has accidentally... Well, I was making a beautiful vegetarian banquet for my better half.
And the words vegetarian and banquet don't make sentence.
Honestly, it's like Belgian stand-up.
I eat too much red meat, apparently, so I was like, OK, let's find... And I detest corn. I detest corn. I find it repulsive. I don't know why it exists.
So we believe you,
And I typed in exotic corn, and my God, the things I saw, my retinas were burnt. And I had to spend about half an hour making sure that I had seen exactly what I'd seen on the internet.
That is the worst excuse I've ever heard. I was making a vegetarian banquet. Reach! Then the next one is... And then I was looking for exotic corn.
Well, sometimes you accidentally...
With a P.
I know,
I was writing a children's story about a cockerel and a donkey.
I just say, there's no one in this room who believes Susan at all that she has never, ever done that, so...
Well, you will have to believe me, I have never watched porn in my life. I imagine it's a bit like voting Lib Dem.
I think it's
great for 5 minutes and afterwards you feel terrible emptiness.
The problem...
What I found really interesting about it is with Jackie Smith's husband got in trouble because we paid for him to watch porn.
Yeah.
And then she made a documentary with the BBC... So we paid for her to watch porn. It's like a Chinese doll situation. We pay for generations of Smiths.
If Smith is their real name.
Former Home Secretary Jackie Smith is to present a documentary for BBC Radio 5 Live entitled Porn Again, an investigation into the pornography trade. Smith claimed to not know that pornography was so prominent on the internet, assuming one still had to go into a private shop and buy a DVD. Her failure to be up to date may explain her lack of success as a Home Secretary, where she spent her time worrying about opium dealing and rapier crime. Reveal the final scores. Let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Ms. Kalman.
This is from Lammas Bayer, and it's posted on the Guardian's Libya Live blog. 11:20 a.m. The Libyan Youth Movement, one of Libya's opposition groups, has posted new video footage, it says, are of protests in Tripoli. The protesters are chanting, here we are, the Libyans are here, there is no God but Allah. It is not possible to verify the group's claims.
Mr. Holland.
This has been sent in by Henry Roberts from Carlow in Ireland. He was browsing the Freesat TV guide one night, and this is BBC 4, 22:30, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, a drama telling the true story of a man paralysed in the prime of his life who showed the spiritual strength to author his memoirs just by blinking in French with English subtitles.
Ms. Connolly.
This is a correction, Henry Fryer. There was an error printed in a story titled Pigs Flown Down the Dawson on page 11 of yesterday's Bully. The story reported by Daniel Burden said more than 30,000 pigs were floating down the Dawson River. What was actually said was 30 sows and pigs.
Mr. Hardy.
This is from the Gould Times, and it doesn't say who it was sent in by. It says, Valentine's celebration after 65 years of marriage. Beechtree House residents Edgar and Margaret Shepherd celebrated Valentine's Day on Monday, February the 14th, when they were presented with a beautiful bouquet of flowers from Joan Yates and Mary Mason Pitt from the Gould branch of Cooperative Funeral Care.
Let's take a look at the final score. Susan and Dominic have got 8 points, but so too have Roisin and Jeremy. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Northamptonshire News sent to us by Peter Baxter.
A doctor who delivered thousands of babies in Northamptonshire has died aged 85. Paying tribute, his son said, I wish I had a pound for every time a lady came up to me and said, I was under your father, or your father made me pregnant.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Susan Kalman, Dominic Holland, Roisin Connolly and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chair script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Gareth Gwynn, with additional material by James Kettle and Toby Wilson. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.